good to be here. And it goes without saying, it's always good to come home, seeing kids, seeing grandkids, seeing friends, seeing family. My testimony. You want me to give my testimony? Brent told me to keep it simple and keep it quick. who do I say? Before I got up here, Brent came back and he said, honey, just say what's on your heart and say what God's given you. And we're going to be here all day, I'm afraid, but I would just like to thank y'all. It goes without saying the thanks that we give to each and every one of you for your hospitality, for your friendship, for the meals that you've prepared for us, just the encouragement, just seeing faces that I haven't seen in years. Came back in February. This is a double blessing this year because we were just here. Seeing people that I haven't seen in a long time, and that's a blessing. When you're gone away, you don't have a lot of people to fill up the chairs, and you're on your own, and you're missing home. It's good to come back and see familiar faces. Seeing faces that are still here after many years of not seeing them, and I'm thankful for that. I would like to give a short testimony of the work in Poland, of Toruń. The last time we were here at a mission conference, we had just moved to Toruń. It's a very small town. I hated it at first because there was nothing to do. It was just so boring compared to Warsaw because there was everything to do in Warsaw. But the Lord showed me, Janice, you need to calm down. Janice, you need to stop bouncing. And he put me in a town where there's a lot of young people. There's a lot of opportunities. And we don't have a great, big, huge church, but we're getting a few people, and we're thankful for those. And this last May, Debbie and I and Magda, and Debbie's Magda and my Magda, we had the opportunity to have a women's conference. And I think, for the most part, it went well. We had the five churches that we're involved with, our three churches, and Magda's father's church in Anin, and one of the brethren churches that we have in Toruń. The women came together and we had a good time of fellowship. It was a blessed time to encourage one another, to realize that we all have needs, we all have pretty much the same burdens, the same frustrations, the same, we're pretty much all the pretty same kind of people. And it was a blessing. Debbie and I were the main speakers and it was all in Polish, so that was a little frustrating, that was a little not so easy. People ask me if it's easy to get up and speak in front of people. In English, no. In Spanish, maybe not, but Polish is very tense. But the Lord got us through it, got me through it, and I'm thankful for that. I would like to read four verses, and they're verses that are very well known, and I have my glasses. I'm going to use my glasses. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'm going to do the rest of what I have to say. Matthew chapter 9. These are all verses that we know for mission conference, for soul winning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now this is a situation that we find ourselves in, all of us. Whether we're here, whether we're on a foreign field, there's a situation that there's a harvest. And there's people out there that need what we have. And they're not going to get it from religion, they need us. And so that's the person. There's the situation. Mark chapter 16:15. "And he said unto them," the Lord said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's the command. There's our order. Go. Go. So that's our command that we have from the Lord. John chapter 4. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now this is the time. The time is now. The orders have been given, the time is now. There's an urge, there's a need, there's an urgency to what the Lord is telling us. He says, look, there are people out there that are dying, and the time is now. We got to do it now. And the last one I would like to read is in Jeremiah chapter 8. And verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not safe. Now that, sadly to say, that's the reality of the situation that every one of us in this room are facing. There's a need, there's a command, there's a time given, and yet there's a reality for some people. Their reality is they're not going to have been saved. They're not going to have been harvested. They're not going to be a part of it. And that scares me. That just really scares me. And it puts in my mind the need for us to be urgent about the Lord's business. Now, all of these verses we all know. We've all read them before hundreds of times. But until these verses, before the Word, before our ministry, before the call is effective in our lives, I think it has to become personal. It has to be, like you said last night, it has to be your calling. It has to be your work that God has done for you and is calling you to do. It has to be personal. Now, you know, when people are sick, it might affect us, but if it's us that's sick, if it's our children that are sick, it touches us and it moves us. And so these verses can do a lot for us, but I want to, what these verses did to me in the last couple of weeks, in the last couple of months, I found in Ruth. Ruth is my favorite book of all. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. I had a great, fantastic mother. But the book of Ruth has just become just alive to me. And I would like to share some verses in Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, how these verses have come alive to me and my testimony and my life through Ruth, through the word that is precious to me. And I always thought of the book of Ruth as a relationship. There's a family that they left their country, they went to a foreign country, and it was hard, and yet the Lord supplied wives for this family, sons. So there's a relationship. Then I see a friendship between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and I have two daughter-in-laws that I can't tell if they're my daughters or my kids. They're not inherited. These daughters that I have are my daughters, and I'm thankful for them, and I love them with all of my heart. And it's a relationship, it's a friendship, it's a heritage. We're all heritages. We all have our inheritance from Ruth and from before that. And it's just a blessed book, and there's a commitment. Ruth was committed to her mother-in-law. She was committed to the Lord of her mother-in-law. And to me, this book has become my mission book. I'm going to go back. This mission conference has been fantastic. I'm going to go back, I hope, with a renewed burden for the poles, to make them mine, to make them, this is my field. I want to see these people won. And I know that if my heart is right, we're going to see some of that fruit. This conference this week, we say it every year, this has been the best conference ever, but guaranteed this one, hands down, has been the best. It has revived my heart. It has encouraged me. And with the chapter, Ruth chapter 2, I want to pull just a few things out that blessed me to show me that God confirms His work through His word, like you said last night, Brother Lynn. He confirms what we're supposed to be doing. And Ruth chapter 2, first of all, Boaz, we know, is the Lord. He was the owner of the fields, and I hope you all know the story of Ruth and everything that takes place, but there's this huge field, and Ruth and Naomi find themselves there, and Ruth says, I'm going to go out and find some food for us today. Let me go out. And in verse 2, it says, Ruth says to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." You know, Ruth had an attitude of let me serve you. Let me go out and take care of you. And I think that's where I have to be. I have to be to the place, we have to be to the place where we're willing to say, "Lord, let me do something for you. Not make me, Lord, go out there, but let me do it." That was verse 6. Her attitude in verse 7, she went, she was picking up the scraps, and she came and she says to the guy that was over, she says, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. So she asked her mother permission to go out. "Let me do something for you." And then she goes to the people that were in control, and she says, "Let me. Please let me have a little bit of what you have. I need it. And I need to do what the Lord's called us to do. I need to be out there winning souls. I need to be out there gathering fruit for my Lord." But Boaz, what gets me is Boaz. He comes in. He has all of these workers working for him. And he takes notice of one young foreign girl. She looks different probably. She definitely acts different because he took notice of her. Out of all of his workers, out of all the people out there working, he took notice of this one girl. And I'm thinking, you know, we're one person. We're one few little churches here and there. You know, does the Lord even know what we're doing? Yeah, he does. He knows what we're doing. He takes notice of just that one little person. That was a blessing to me. And then he goes and he meets her. He says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I don't want you going out any place else. I want you to stay right here in my field where I have you, because I'm going to bless you here." And for me as a missionary wife, having four children, having two in Poland, having two here, sometimes it's hard. I'm blessed above measure because I don't have all of my children here. I do have some there. But it does get hard having children here, having grandchildren here that I don't get to see. But the Lord said, like Boaz told Naomi, or Ruth, "Don't go anyplace else. I want you right here." And then the blessing that he says in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee to the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust." To me, that is a blessing. I don't understand why things are the way they are, but I don't have to understand it. And I know that there is a blessing that God has for me. He has for all of us when we're doing His will. And it's not always easy. It's not always comfortable, but He does bless. And it's a promise here that He recompenses. And He has. He has. There's been blessings upon blessings that He's given to us, given to me personally, for having just being there, just doing what He wants me to do. And I'm thankful for that. And Ruth's attitude, again, I'm just amazed at her attitude. I wish I had more of it. I want my way all too often. But she says, "Just let me do this for you. Let me just do this for you, Lord." And then she says in verse 13, she says, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not likened unto one of thine handmaidens." Okay, she realized that she had no merit. She wasn't like his people, his servants. She was different. But yet she was thankful. And she says, Why have I found all of this blessing? You know, it just amazed her. And it amazes me how God, even when my heart and my attitude is not right, He still blesses me and He still uses me and He still gives me blessings upon blessings, and He gives me all this stuff, and He just wants us to be willing to be used. He just wants us to, we don't have to have any talents, we don't have to have anything of merit, education, but yet He just wants us to be used and be willing to be used. And I know I'm missing out a verse here, verse 19. She realized that the Lord took notice of her. Boaz had taken notice. She realized it, and then others realized it. Her mother-in-law, she goes back to her mother-in-law, and in verse 19 it says, "And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." There is an effect. You look around, people say, "What do you have? Why are you here? You have kids, you have grandchildren in the States. Why don't you go back home?" Because the Lord has me here to do something, and people see it. And it's a blessing when you're able to, when they see it and they ask you, because that makes it a lot easier to go witness to somebody. If they ask you, "Why are you so happy? Why are you here? Why all of these questions?" It's easy to say, "Because my Lord wants me here. And He has a reason for me to be here." "Well, do you have family here?" "Well, I don't have any heritage from the past. I don't have any relatives here, but I have grandchildren here. I have a daughter-in-law that is Polish, and so we're here." And so there is an effect of going into a foreign country, doing something that you never probably had expected to do before in your life, and there's a testimony. There's a fruit from it. And I did a bad job of bringing this out when it came into my life. I wish I was an artist. Laura, I wish I had your gift of painting, because I would like to paint for you a picture of the harvest, of the field, of the work that is ahead of us. And if you can imagine in your mind a huge field of wheat or a huge field of corn, but just as far as you can look, this huge field. And we know that the field, the earth, is the Lord's. And when we came here, we flew over, we spent time in New York, we went to North Carolina, and we flew here, and I was able to sit on the window edge of the seat, and I got to see all the fields down below. And there is a beautiful creation from up in the heavens. I mean, there's fields, there's like a big old patchwork. There's greens, there's browns, there's all different shades of browns and greens. And so the fields are great. And the Bible talks about the field being great. The harvest is plenty. And so there's all these different fields. But just imagine this huge field of wheat. And it's time to reap. Lord said it's time. They're white. They're ready to go. And so think of this big combine going through and just mowing down this. And I think we could apply that to people that have gone before us, you know, Mexico. We saw great revivals. We saw great reaping in Mexico. At least I did. We did. There's lots of people that got saved. And there's all of these souls that have been saved because somebody went, they left their country, they left their families, their convenience, comforts, and they went, and there was a reaping. And then Corey stole my ammunition last night. He was talking about Shrek and, you know, "Pick me, pick me." I'm getting this idea in my head of this field after it's been reaped that there's a few stalks standing up. You know, you go to a field that's just been shredded or plowed, there's still a few stalks. And I'm thinking, you know, what about that stalk that was willing, that was wanting to hear the gospel, that was ready, but they had no opportunities. Stephen and John talked about a man, what was his name?
Manuel,
that just eager, Bible study, can't wait to get, you know, more Bible. And there's people like that are willing, they're waiting for the gospel. There was a man, an older man in Łódź, when we had our campaign there, that he says, "I prayed for somebody to come with the Bible for over 50 years, and finally it's here." There's those little ones that are ready. They're there waiting for us. Are we going to get them? And then there's others that I see still standing there, these stalks of wheat or these stems of barley, or I was looking up all the terms, stalks, stems, that were bypassed. They didn't get me. And they're like, what about me? Who's going to bring me the gospel? And they didn't get to hear it. And we talk about corn, we talk about barley, we talk about wheat, but all of these little stalks are souls of men. These are souls. We're not talking about corn and wheat and barley like Ruth was reaping. Our fields, our work, have to do with souls of men. And we rejoice when there's a great harvest. We rejoice when we can win souls. And we get encouraged when we see those few stalks that are ready. We go to them, we give them the word, and they're ready, and they accept it. That rejoices our heart. But there are some that they've been left behind. They don't get the word. Those girls that you're going to go adopt, and I know you're going to get a bunch of girls, you know, don't leave them behind. And, you know, these are souls that we're talking about. These are important. And as long as there are souls in Moldova, or there are souls in Mexico, or there are souls in Poland, it doesn't get personal. But if they're your daughters, or your grandchildren, or your mother, it touches home. So these fields that we go back to are no different than your fields at USAA, the police station, the schools, the universities, we all have our fields. And I want to go back, and I'm going to go back, Lord willing, and do all that I can to win those that we don't esteem very highly. I'm an English teacher. Brenda's already talked about the opportunities that I've had. I deal with a lot of very important people. And I'm getting about this close to meeting the ex-president. I'm teaching Lech Wałęsa's daughter-in-law English. He was the former Polish president that when we went to Poland 17 years ago, I said, I want to meet Lech Wałęsa. He was the president that pulled Poland out of communism. And I haven't talked to him. I've seen him afar off, but I haven't been able to talk to him. But I'm teaching his daughter-in-law. And so there's opportunities that we have. And they're no different than the opportunities that you all have. You have an opportunity to win your boss. You have an opportunity to win your neighbors. And the harvest, the fields, they're there. They're ready. And I just want to thank y'all for encouraging me. You missionaries, you've encouraged me. All the messages that we've had in the mornings, they've been an encouragement. And just to encourage y'all, you know. Don't think of us as anybody special or anything. We're just doing what God's given us to do. And like Ruth, I want to have the attitude of, let me, Lord, let me go win those. Let us go win them.
Amen. Amen.